Good evening, everyone. And thank you again for the opportunity to share God's word with you tonight. If you'll turn your Bibles with me to 2 Peter, we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 18. That's 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. I'll read aloud and then we'll open with prayer. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity from you, Lord, to be able to share a work that you've done in me. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me to get out of the way, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may speak through me, that these words may be your words, that the brethren here listening may be able to see that you have wrought a work through me. And I pray that you would give me liberty to share that, and I pray that you would use it in the lives of these brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I'm not going to be looking specifically at this verse, as today's sermon is more of a topical sermon regarding spiritual growth. But I wanted to talk to you about the practical side of spiritual growth. And the reason why I chose this particular topic is when I asked myself, what kind of a work has God done in me recently? And I can definitely say that spiritual growth has been an important aspect of late. And that's really the easiest topic to share when pastor asks, can you preach something, is a work that, God has done in me. So I wanted to ask some very practical questions and then do my best in looking or presenting what the Bible has to say in regards to these questions. And I wanted to answer them in the most simplest way. So the first question, really, assuming that spiritual growth is something that we should find natural as a Christian, the first question I would ask is, where does this desire to grow come from? Although it's a very simple question, I think it's fundamental to establish what the answer is. And quite simply, well, the answer is simple, is the fact that my desire to grow comes from the fact that I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Just like someone trying to be a better soldier or an athlete or a farmer, I want to become a better Christian because I am one. It's really as simple as that. If you're a Christian, then you will have a desire to be a better one. And where does this desire come from? You don't have to turn, but listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 says. It says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And Paul says later in that, in 1 Corinthians, in that epistle, again in chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You see, upon becoming a Christian, the Spirit of God then dwells within you. And the Holy Spirit begins a work in you, which we often call the word sanctification. It is a Bible term, and it pretty much means a process of purifying. So upon salvation, upon the Spirit of God dwelling within you, God begins to perform a work, a process of purifying. And that is where our desire to grow comes from. So then, if every Christian has this desire to grow, then why doesn't every Christian always grow? I believe there's a very simple answer to this question as well. And that simple answer is because in our hearts, we don't always really want to. Let me explain. The process of growth, as I said, requires purifying. And we know that purifying requires chastening. And as the Bible says in Hebrews 12:11, let me read it to you. You don't have to turn there. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." And we often forget the second half of this verse. Let me read that to you as well. It says, "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of a righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Amen. So it may not be very pleasant at first, but the result, the end result of God's work in us is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. Very often, you and I are guilty of always thinking about the immediate in our lives, especially when certain needs become pressing. And we often let, the future us deal with the future, and we'll just deal with the immediate. And, you know, this is a common trait of us all. But the point is that we often feel this way because we don't have a serious mindset about being a Christian. And we don't have a serious mindset about the need to grow up as a Christian. Many of us are still on milk. And even when we are happily drinking milk, we can convince ourselves that we can chew on a T-bone steak when we only have maybe some 2 buck teeth and a couple molars. But often I see this in others, and I have seen this in myself, this kind of thinking in myself as well. Now, if you want to get serious, we obviously need to be very honest with ourselves. We need to be willing to hear from God and accept what He says. And we need to be willing also to hear from the people of God. If a family member or a friend tells you that you have a problem, and I'm talking from a spiritual sense, you know, they're telling us something that may initially hurt us at first. But they're telling us because they know that, and they can see how much better we will be if we don't have that problem anymore. And that's the same way how God works. And truly, truly, and I won't play this down, it takes humility to do this. It takes humility just to be able to see what the hurt, the initial hurt that's being felt is really love. It takes humility to acknowledge that, and it takes humility to be able to make a decision to do something about it. Amen. So in that sense, humility is really key. And what humility does in that instance is that it shows us what area of our Christian walk that we need to where we need to specifically grow. Amen. And this leads us to another question. And often this is a question asked when people begin to have that desire and see that there is a need for humility. And the question is, why isn't my prayer to grow being answered? Now, I'll just use a personal example that during my Bible college years, I had a constant prayer, and that prayer request was always that I would grow. And many of you would attest on a Wednesday night when we come together in prayer and someone asked me, "Oh, Brother Chris, is there something that we can pray for you about?" And week on week, month on month, year on year, I would tell you, "Please pray that I would grow." I can see Wilson laughing because I've said that to him so many times throughout the years. But that is That has truly been my desire. And yet, in the past 4 years that I was in college, and to my surprise, there were more opportunities to learn about my shortcomings than there were opportunities to grow out of them. And truly, I think that that's actually meant to be the point. Well, I think anyway. I realized only in hindsight that college is more of an opportunity to learn about myself with God rather than the opportunity to grow up with Him. Now, some of you may ask why I would make this kind of conclusion. And the reality is that the growing part that we all desire, that growing only happens after you learn what you are lacking. And that's a principle that I'm trying to share here. And I'll use an analogy using the example of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer that I mentioned earlier. A soldier can't become a better marksman unless he first recognizes his inability to shoot a moving target. Likewise, an athlete can't become faster unless he recognizes first that there are others that are faster than him. And same for a farmer. I can't be more productive unless he recognizes first that his bad timing is contributing to his low yields. And so it was for me in Bible college. It was 4 years of God showing me what areas of my Christian life I was lacking. Now, don't get me wrong. I of course, did grow in the 4 years of college, because when you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can't help but grow in His grace also. But the opportunities to grow, I'm saying, were more sparse. And these opportunities, they were sparse, and they only came after, trials, testings, and temptations. And it always resulted, as I said before, in humility, in me having to humble myself or be humbled if I was ever proud or ignorant about something that the Lord was trying to show me. And the process, it was, of course, absolutely necessary for my growth. And that's how I can say in hindsight that God was actually answering my prayers and the prayers of Wilson and others for me to grow. I just wasn't able to recognize it then. But in hindsight, I can see that God was truly doing that. And I guess here's the point of this section of my sermon, is that if you're not willing to humble yourself before God, then there's no way that you're going to grow. If you're struggling to figure out what you need to be humble about, then you can definitely be sure that there needs to be some humbling there by God. Let me remind you what James chapter 4, verse 6 says. It says, "But he who is God giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Isn't that exactly what we just discussed? Now, if you're someone who's been praying to grow, but it seems as if God may not be answering your prayers, it may be because we need to humble ourselves. We need to recognize our faults, our shortcomings, our pride, even unconfessed sin, or whatever it is that stands between us and God. That is what we need to deal with before God, for God to be able to do a work in us where we might be able to grow. And this leads to the next question that I'm trying to address is, what does growing in Christ look like? And I'll also share a personal story with you about that. But mainly the point of this section is that there may be others who desire to grow, they're praying for it, but they're not realizing, as I mentioned before, that their prayers are actually being answered. Now, I think there are two types of people that I can think of in a situation like this. There is one person, type of person that may genuinely pray to grow. They may desire in their heart, but they're not willing to do anything about it. And then, I'm speaking in very general terms. And then there's one who genuinely prays as well to grow, also desires it in their heart, and in faith, they do something about it. It's a very simple and very stark comparison. Now, for those who were here on Wednesday night, where Pastor gave me an opportunity to share a message, I briefly spoke about the need for a quiet time. And I shared with you that how I struggled for years to develop a consistent, a daily time of prayer and reading of God's Word. And to be honest, even now, I don't militantly always have a quiet time in the morning. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the morning, but for most of us, it would be the most beneficial time. But what's important is that it has become a routine in my life. That's what's important. And for years, I genuinely prayed that God would cause me to grow in this area of my life, because I really did struggle with it. That God would do a work in me, thinking that He would cause me to take these necessary steps involved in having this consistent time with Him. And there were even times where I said to myself and tried to convince myself that isn't it God's will? Isn't it His will for me to have this daily time with Him? And isn't it His will that I would want to do this every morning to be fed by Him? And let me read you a verse in 1 John 5:14. Oh, we can just turn there. We'll turn there together. 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. First John 5:14 reads, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." It seems so clear. Why then was my prayer not being answered, I thought? Well, in hindsight, there was a very important question that I should have asked myself. And here's the question. Did I have genuine faith, believing that God could do this work in me? I will elaborate on that question. But before I do, I want us to turn to Matthew 21, please. Matthew 21, we're going to look at verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. And this is following 1 John 5:14 and 15, this idea that what we ask in prayer, we will receive. Matthew 21, Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22 reads, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Of course, I believe that God was capable of doing this work. There's nothing that is impossible with God. But what was the kind of faith that Jesus is asking us to have here when we read about how Jesus instructed His disciples about the kind of faith that can wither a fig tree and move mountains? What kind of faith is this? Now, I can tell you, I don't think it's a kind of faith that believes that he is capable, that God is capable of answering this prayer. But I believe, looking back in hindsight and understanding more about this verse and about how God has worked in me, I believe what God really wants this kind of faith to be is where we believe that God is going to answer this prayer. You see, capable of answering may seem very similar to going to answer, but in reflection, it's something very vastly different. And let me explain. Capable of doing is like this example. It's like a child asking their parents to buy them a toy. So the child knows that his father can buy him this toy that he wants. But he doesn't necessarily believe that he's going to receive it because he knows that his father might think that he doesn't need it. Why? Because he already has too many toys at home. Yet he asks anyway and gets upset when the father says no. And going to do, let me give you an example of going to do, is like a child asking their parents to give them water to drink because they are thirsty. The child knows that his father can give him what he wants and believes that he will receive it because the child knows that his father will give him what he needs, and so he receives it immediately. You see, when I came to this realization that when I asked God to cause me to have a consistent daily morning quiet time, I was only believing that God was capable of doing this work in me, without understanding that God wanted me to believe not only that he was capable, but more importantly, that he was going to do it. Now, here's the difference, and I'm going to try to be as practical as I can. So, when I believe that God was only capable of answering this prayer, this is what I did. Get ready? Nothing. But when I began to believe that God was going to answer my prayer, this is what I did in comparison. One, I set a time that I would wake up every morning to do my quiet time. I set a time. I set an amount of time that I would spend in my quiet time. I made myself conscious about what time I would need to sleep in order that I would not be too tired from waking up that much earlier the next day. I set out how I was going to pray and where I was going to start reading the Bible in. I even set out a spiritual goal for myself to commit to doing this for 40 consecutive days. And the rest was up to God. These things I mentioned above, I didn't sit there and ponder and struggle about these things. No, they just came naturally, because I just acted as if God would do it. Now, some of you may think, oh, I already did most of the work. But that's actually not true. All I did was anticipate what was going to happen and determine in my heart to do it. Let me explain further. When I entered into this routine by faith, my quiet times, I could tell, were different to my other quiet times. Many times I would often feel rushed or had other things on my mind of the day that would often distract me. Yet, doing it this way, I realized because I had enough time, I didn't ever feel rushed. And because I knew that this time was separate to the time of the day, I wasn't bothered with the distractions of that day. This small change in attitude, it actually changed a lot in terms of my outlook and my time that I spent with God. I began to become more sensitive in prayer, more aware of myself spiritually in the events of the day, more aware of the needs of others, both the saved brethren and unsaved. and more thankful in general as well. And regarding the Bible, obviously, from having an inconsistent quiet time, I had built up some bad habits of simply just reading when it came to the Bible. And what I mean by that is reading it kind of like a textbook, you could say. But this time around, something changed. And what I did was I began, instead of just reading the Bible, I began to start following the Bible. And I'll explain what I mean by that. So before, the habit was for me to read like a textbook. But now that I had done things to accommodate myself for a productive quiet time, when I began to read, I began to follow it just like how a good story takes you along for the ride. And that's a good way of explaining how my quiet times had changed. This caused me to take my time on the more meatier sections of the Bible, rather than just focusing on trying to get through a set number of chapters. Eventually, my quiet times stopped becoming a chore, and for the first time in a very long time, I began to feel that my quiet times were becoming a need. And I could see how wisdom and understanding in the Bible, it truly is far better than silver and gold. And so when I began to wake up, what would happen was the first thing in my mind would be, other than thanking God for the day, would be, I need to have my quiet time. I'm going to have my quiet time. And I just wanted to share that personal story, because I thought if this is relevant to anyone, it might be of practical help to you. And I understand that this is a personal story. It might not be applicable to everyone, but I wanted to share it anyway in case it would help someone or encourage someone that can relate to it. And truly, when we're growing, when I know I'm growing, I truly feel blessed by God in these times. And it's always because of spending more time in prayer and spending more time reading the Word. Always. That's the result. And truly, when now that I have developed this time and routine in God's Word, truly I can understand how a Christian can become like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. As a young Christian, I remember pondering about this. How can a Christian be like that? I mean, I can understand what he's trying to say. Say like, I understand that, you know, the blessings are like that, but I couldn't see how. But obviously, I can now, because when you spend time in God's Word and in prayer, that's the result. You become like a tree planted by the rivers. Not only for our brothers and sisters in Christ to see, but the whole world to see. You know, and just as Pastor said this morning about how he's exhorted us this morning for the need to spend more time in God's Word this year, you know, this is truly my desire for myself and for our family. For me, my time to grow is now. And I recognize that. I recognize that God has given me opportunities to grow. He's shown me in the past 4 years of college what areas that I need to grow. And he's given me now the freedom to be able to take the time now as an opportunity to grow. And my prayer for our church family is that you would endeavor to press forward for Jesus Christ in this way as well. And as Pastor said, it begins with spending time in the book, begins with praying, and it begins with a consistent quiet time. So may God answer our prayers, and may we believe that he will do it. Let's close in prayer, and Pastor, if you would come.